Now let's get right underway with our broadcast partners looking at geopolitical activities across the world, both in the Middle East and here in the United States. The man who can look at what's happening here in America as well as across the world is Ken Timmerman. He's in the Washington, D.C. area. Ken is an author. He's a journalist. He's a world traveler. He happens to be a candidate for the United States Congress as well. So all of this keeps him pretty tuned in to what's going on in our world. Ken, let's get right to the action. NAM, which is the Non-Aligned Movement Summit, is taking place in Tehran, Iran. Now, one of the concerns you had was that Ban Ki-moon was in attendance, also that President Morsi, the newly elected Islamist president in Egypt, is also at that particular summit as well. Talk to me about the summit, what it's really trying to do, what the Iranians are trying to do with it, and what about Ban Ki-moon? He seemed to come out against the Iranians.
Well, I think there have been some surprises in this summit, and it's taken the Iranian regime a bit aback. They have been claiming in their domestic media that the fact that over 100 world leaders, including the Secretary General of the United Nations, would come to Tehran is an endorsement of the Islamic Republic. It's an endorsement of their standing up to the world on their nuclear weapons program. It's an endorsement of their right to enrich uranium and on and on and on. In fact, what happened on the ground was quite different. As you mentioned, Ban Ki-moon himself was critical of the regime, and even more surprisingly, the Egyptian president, Muslim Brotherhood member Mohamed Morsi, came out and blasted the Iranian regime for supporting Bashar al-Assad in Syria. And this was really, the Iranians didn't quite know what to make of it. The Syrian foreign minister walked out, and it was a pretty direct, virulent attack on Iran's support for Bashar al-Assad. So those two things, I think, have been a bit surprising for the regime. They weren't expecting it.
Well, in reality, what was the purpose of Iran putting this on? Were they really trying to use it as a PR situation?
Oh, well, absolutely. They wanted PR. They wanted to show the non-aligned movement, number one, that they were able to stand up to the United States, with which they call world arrogance, and that all of the sanctions on them didn't really make much difference. But the outcome of the summit itself, I think, took the Iranian leadership aback.
But that's not going to stop them from moving ahead with our program, do you think?
No, they are absolutely dedicated to this. They're all in when it comes to developing nuclear weapons, and that is really the gist of this latest report from the International Atomic Energy Agency, which came out on Thursday. I find this one of the more troubling reports that the IAEA has ever issued. They've come out and said that the Iranians have essentially doubled the number of centrifuges in the deep buried plant in Fordo, which is near Qom. This is the plant that everybody's worried about. It's deep inside a mountain outside the city of Qom, supposedly impenetrable to air attack, although I wouldn't be so sure about that. But they have doubled the number of centrifuges and dramatically increased the number of the amount of 20% enriched uranium. That's significant because it is very quick. It is very easy to go from 20% right up to weapons grade, a matter of 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, in fact, then that would keep them on line with what many are saying could be the October 1st date that they would have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction.
Well, they will certainly have the capability by October 1st for at least to produce at least one weapon. They will have enough enriched uranium to do so. They do today, actually. They have enough today to make one crude weapon. They will have more, obviously, in another 6 weeks. And we know, again, from the International Atomic Energy Agency's reports in the past, that they have cold tested all of the elements, all of the components of a workable nuclear fission device. So they've got the bomb design. They've actually produced the components, including the initiators, which are the most complicated piece of all. And they've shown that they can do it, and it works. And the only thing they're lacking right now is the actual highly enriched uranium bomb core itself. Now we know they've got enough uranium to make it.
And as they work feverishly to prepare for that nuclear weapon of mass destruction there in Iran. In the United States, General Dempsey, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, makes a statement that Israel's attack on Iran, a preemptive attack, would not stop the Iranian nuclear program. And some are thinking in Israel that that means, well, hey, we're not sure that the United States is going to have the back of Israel should there be a preemptive strike. What about General Dempsey's statement?
Well, this is one of the problems with the Obama administration. They are sending out our military leaders who are supposed to be the chief, General Dempsey is supposed to be the chief military advisor to the president. And instead, it looks like he is taking political advice from the president before he makes his military statements. This is one of the problems with the Obama administration. They are creating uncertainty to the enemy. They are creating doubt among our friends. And the United States of America, we are the sole remaining superpower in the world. We should not be doing that. That is what creates wars. Wars are created when enemies sense a vacuum. They sense that the United States is weak, and that is exactly the message that General Dempsey put out. I think it's a disaster. I think it's a huge mistake. I haven't actually looked at what his term is. Unfortunately, I believe he's at the beginning of his four-year term, but General Dempsey is clearly a political general and is not serving the president well.
In fact, one official in Israel said that they quoted the Republican nominee for president of the United States, Mitt Romney, who made in his acceptance speech a statement that the United States has thrown Israel under the bus. That seems like what they're doing.
Well, I think that's exactly what they're doing, and I think it's unfortunate, I think it's unwise, and I think it's dangerous.
You know, why then is the United States sending a second warship into the Gulf in response to Iran?
Well, you know, we've always had two aircraft carrier battle groups in the region. One might be inside the Persian Gulf, the other one would be out in the Arabian Sea, or perhaps in the Red Sea. There have always been two, with a third on the way to relieve the other one. What they're doing this time seems to be advancing the schedule a little bit. They're bringing up the aircraft carrier John Stennis and sending them out ahead of time, ahead of their normal schedule. I believe it's 4 months ahead of time. So it is a sign that the U.S. is worried that we are getting closer to hostilities. But again, let me just point out, you know, statements like those from General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that the United States will not support Israel. He said, I don't want to be complicit if Israel chooses to attack Iran. I mean, that is an outrageous statement. It emboldens the Iranian regime, and it gives the Israelis doubt as to U.S. resolve. That is not the kind of message we should be putting out there. And putting out and advancing the schedule of that second aircraft carrier, frankly, doesn't do an awful lot to counteract that message.
You know, Ken, I watch Turkey very closely. Tayyip Erdogan, I believe, has desires to be the pan-Islamic leader of the entire world. He has been very meticulous in putting his case in place as far as the Turkish people are concerned. And now the Turkish military seem to be playing a major role in the Western response to the Syrian civil war. What are your thoughts about what Turkey's doing there?
Well, they are, and I think as we look back on the Obama administration next year with a new president in power and new members of Congress, we will be asking questions, who lost Turkey? Because clearly, in the past 4 years, Turkey has gone from being a U.S. ally, an ally of Israel, a member of NATO, into not quite an enemy, but very close to one. They've severed their military relationship with Israel and taken hostile actions, such as sending trained guerrilla fighters on board the so-called convoys of flotillas of ships to Gaza to confront the Israelis militarily with clubs and steel bars and knives and other weapons. Turkey has joined together with Iran in many cases to go against the Kurds, but here in Syria, they're on opposite sides. The Turks have been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood against the Assad regime. The Iranians are supporting Assad against the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, it is the Middle East. You know, I and my brother against our cousin, we and our cousin against the neighbor, and the rest of us and our neighbors against the world. So Turkey and Iran will be allied when it comes to beating the Kurds, but they'll fight each other when it comes to Syria.
Yeah, and what about Syria? The rebels there seem to be claiming that they have taken over our control of the chemical weapons of mass destruction that were under the control of Bashar Assad. What's the latest on that?
Well, there's this report that comes out from rebel spokesmen among the Syrian opposition that they have captured a Syrian missile base outside of Damascus with 10 missiles that have been converted, where the warheads have been converted to carry unconventional weapons, including chemical weapons. This is an extremely dangerous escalation of the conflict. The United States, the European Union, and Israel have all warned that should Syria lose control of its chemical weapons or its biological weapons, which, by the way, it admits to having, that would be a justification for some form of Western military involvement in Syria's civil war. That may be, in fact, exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood opposition is trying to provoke. They may be trying to get a Western military intervention. But I see this latest attack, chemical weapons in the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood, exceedingly dangerous, dangerous escalation, and we all ought to keep our eyes on that one.
Ken Timmerman. He's in Washington, D.C. area, and he looks at geopolitical activities across the world for us. We need to have the truth behind all of these headlines that are out there and what really is going on. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.